Welcome to the Ecology and Research Channel. Green issues, ecology, incredibly important to embodiment. Obviously, we're embodied in place, we're embodied in a world. How we treat ourselves is how we treat the planet and vice versa. So this is super important, I think, for our whole planet. Research relates to this. We've sort of put two together there. We didn't quite know where to put research, so we put them in with ecology. This stage has lots of great speakers, people I personally enjoy, and it's sponsored by Forests Without Frontiers. So rather than sell a sponsorship for this channel, we decided, you know what, let's give it away to a green charity. Tree planting seemed a good one. We thought we can all get behind that. We all breathe air. We looked into a load, actually. Some of them are quite famous, but don't actually plant a lot of trees, weirdly, or other things aren't so good with them. This one, Forests Without Frontiers, really does the work. They're in charge of a really big reforestation project in Central Europe, but, you know, we're all breathing it, thank you. It's run by Nicoletta, a very cool lady, and just a cool organization that really does the work. The money goes, you know, efficiently to actually planting trees. I'm happy to be supporting them. For me, it was like, you know, when we were looking at our charities to support, a green one just made a lot of sense to me. That just was obvious. Please do support them. Links below. As well as that, enjoy the whole channel. There's so much richness in this topic.
This is really true. It's so, so rich. We have so many different presentations, a huge variety, so definitely enjoy our channel. Now I would like to enjoy you, Professor Petra Kopper's presentation. So again, as I said, the Ecosoma Participatory Somatic Experiment for Disabled and Non-Disabled Movers. And Professor Petra Kopper's is a disability culture activist, a community performance activist, and a professor of English and women's gender studies at the University of Michigan, Ann Arbor. She also serves on the faculty of Goddard College's MFA program in interdisciplinary arts. She's the artistic director of the Olympias Performance Research Project, an artist collective that creates collaborative exploratory environments for people with physical, emotional, sensory and cognitive differences and their allies. Her publications include Ecosoma, Speculative Performance Encounters, University of Minnesota Press, forthcoming 2021, Theater and Disability, Palgrave 2017, Studying Disability, Arts and Culture, an Introduction, also Palgrave 2014, Community Performance, Scarf Visibility, and a lot of more publications I see here. And she co-curates Turtle Disco, a disability-led somatic writing studio in Ypsilanti, Michigan, with her wife and creative partner, Stephanie Height. Interesting factoid, she was one of the first wheelchair-using dance artists internationally to gain a professional dance qualification. And this presentation, you will, in this workshop, you will explore ecosomatic movement and disability culture. You will look with Professor Petra Kopper's at how you can embodied and expressive in nature and in your own homes, how you can tune into your somatic sensitivities and our creative energies to find access and experience joy. You will move with sounds you're making with your own breath, appropriate to your body minds, even if you experience pain and mobility restrictions. Welcome, Petra. I'm really happy to have you here today, and I'm really actually excited to hear more about your session, about your presentation.
Lovely. Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. I am so honored to be invited to speak as part of this conference. This is an unusual venue for me. I'm so glad to see many wonderful people come in here and to be part of this session with me. The session is going to have two parts. I'm going to first talk a little bit about lineages and ancestry. I'm going to talk a little bit about disability culture. And in the second half, we're going to move together. Move and write. So if you are interested in writing, have something ready to write with, and the moving can be on your sofa or it can be on the ground, whatever works for you. So welcome. I'm glad to be speaking with you as one of very few disability culture artists in this conference. So I thought it was really important to me to share with you more about what disability culture is and to ground ourselves in ancient lineages, indigenous lands. I'm coming to you right now from Ojibwe territory in Ypsilanti, Michigan. And I want to acknowledge throughout that a lot of our work is built on old traditions that that someone like me is using to reinvent and work with people all over the world. And so do many of us. Very few of the practices that we're presenting in this conferences are invented by the people who are presenting right now. We are part of lineages And that's the core theme of my presentation. I'm going to go to my PowerPoint. Okay, so I will read out everything that is on the slides. There is a live captioning is going on for access reasons. I will also audio describe each image that I'm using. I put here my email address, so if you want to have this PowerPoint, please feel free to email me. I'm very glad to share it. The automatic captioning will not get all the names that I'm mentioning, but they're on the slide, and again, I'm happy to share. And the main framework for the talk is disability culture, arts and culture created by disabled people, in which we share pain and pleasure, heft and depth. So it's never just an easy celebration. It's living as complex being in a very complicated world. All right, so let's start with lineages. So I've already mentioned that lineages is a very important part of this talk, grounding ourselves in who we are, acknowledging who we are. So I've put some keywords here on the slide as well. I grew up in Germany in the 1970s and 80s, and my education and my way of being in the world was marked by an ethical engagement with the Nazi and the colonial past, what it means to come from a perpetrator nation, German nation. I grew up also on the Niederrhein, a specific area in the northwest of Germany, and I grew up there with a very deep sense of the aliveness of the natural world, of creatures in the forest and in the rivers in my environment. There was never a moment in which I didn't have full certainty that there were creatures around me, more than human others, more than scientifically recognized others. So this is part of what it means to grow up in a place where you've been inhabiting the land for a very long time. And so both of these elements became part of what I now call ecosoma, an artful attention to being in the human and the more than human world that combines with an ethics of conviviality, of being with others, while acknowledging pain and historic and ongoing injustice. So that's the core framework for my talk today. The sensibilities that grew out of knowing that you're part of a perpetrator nation, the history and the weight of history, and the aliveness and richness of what surrounds me. So growing up as a disabled woman in this environment allowed me to think about this in relation to ecosoma, an artful attention. Now I go to my personal ancestral lineage, because that's also important. So I act like my real close people and what they allowed me to experience. My first shout out is to Tante Lisa. Tante Lisa was my paternal grandmother's sister, and she was born with cerebral palsy and lived on a farm all her life and was someone who had to drudge and labor all her life because she was disabled. So her sexuality and sensuality was very much denied to her. But when I was a little one, and while we were still together on this earth, she imbued me with a strong belief that there is sensuality and sexuality in my painful disabled body, that there is a shared sense of aliveness and of eros that connects us to this world. So I'm very grateful to my Tante Lisa, and I'm glad to be honoring her in this talk. My maternal grandmother also had lessons to impart. While I was growing up, she was living with us. We were a three-generation home, and she engaged at certain times of the year in divination practices. She poured hot lead into water and interpreted the shapes that came out. And this listening to the world is something that now, as I'm growing older myself, I learn to recognize how this has shaped me. And then thirdly, I want to honor and thank my father, Wilhelm Hans Leoküppers, who took me when I was just in my early teens to autogenic training. And that is a form of self-hypnosis. You enter a trance state and you journey and you begin to regulate the autonomous and non-autonomous, the systems in your body. So autogenic training is something that you can look up. It is it's a practice that has a lot of has more attention in Europe than it has in the US, where I live now. But it's something that very much shaped me, as I still use trance states and journeying in my own practice. So that's my personal ancestors lineage. And now I'm going to my chosen cultural lineage. So you choose disability culture. You don't choose necessarily to be disabled or not, but you can choose to hook yourself up with the wider world of disabled artists, and in my case, also queer artists. So I have a chosen cultural lineage from which I derive much strength and which has shaped all of my adult life. And I just want to mention just again, one or two people here or moments. One is Kanduko Dance Company from Britain and their film Outside In, which was made in 1995. It was the topic of the first chapter of my own PhD research. I was working on disabled dance and dance video. And this wonderful movie that is freely available online, you can watch it, was choreographed by Victoria Marks with director Margaret Williams. I've put here a picture of this film that cuts together images of disabled and non-disabled dancers in nature in a really interesting and surrealist way. So here you have this track of the wheelchairs on the beautiful rolling hills. And in the middle there, you see Dave Toole, who passed away earlier this week. And I want to honor him as someone who's also been a major influence on me. His wonderful dancing has been just a joy to so many of us in the British and the international disability culture community. Another person I want to honor is Gerda König from DIN A13 in English. I'm playing with German and English. I noticed that it's kind of hard to say some things in the other language. She had a show called Colors of Longing in the year 2000. And in this, she has an unusual body, a smaller body. And in this show in the year 2000, she filmed herself in a pool, and she has these wonderful blue and yellow lights on her body, on this unusual body. And she's shifting in the pool. She has great freedom of movement. And it was wonderful to see this work. Unfortunately, there's no images available online. I have written about this work as well, but I don't have access to my image file. So I just invite you to imagine this gorgeous freedom of movement of a body just experiencing the weightlessness of water. Here is another piece that has influenced many, many people internationally. Sue Austin is a British artist who created this underwater wheelchair. And this is a still of the video that's also freely available. You can very easily find it. If you put in Sue Austin and underwater wheelchair, there's this video of her and her adapted wheelchair. This is such a surreal idea, right? That you take a wheelchair underwater. But there is such amazing juice in watching this wheelchair with wings that can navigate in the water and to see it filmed in this gorgeous environment. So it is just a symbol of freedom for me. Now I'm moving to some of my own shows. So this is the Salamander by the Olympias. So the Olympias is the international dance company that I lead. And what you see here is two people in the water, underwater. You see bubbles coming out of the woman's mouth. And the two people are Neil Marcus, who is the co-founder of the Salamander Project, a spastic poet, dancer, philosopher from the Bay Area in California. And Chiayi Situ, who is a Beijing-based dance artist. And in the Salamander Project, disabled people and their allies went swimming together. A lot of us were queer or trans. Many people were indigenous. It was the time of the water carriers, the water protectors, indigenous people rising up to protect our important water sources and be very visible in the public eye around this. So much of this work linked itself with what water meant, but also what it meant in terms of the edge of life and death. So if you look at the images that I'm showing you right now, normally in a presentation, I would now have a public image description, which we can't really do in this format here, but I would look at what you see. Do you see freedom, pain, the edges of life and death, movements? What do the movements signify for you? I'm very interested in the in-between moments. Here we have another one of the Salamander people. This is Chanika Svetvilas, she, her, who is a mad psych artist who does visual arts and installation. And again, we see an image of a brown-skinned woman, her hair wild, and the image is very much caught in movement. The eyes are closed. There's bubbles rising, and the bubbles swirl around her face, around her hair. There's this energy, a swirl of energy that I see. And I know that many people who have image described this one speak about, again, liminal state, edge states. So I invite you to see what you see. Don't be just swayed by what I'm saying. If you share these images with other people, ask them to describe and listen to the differences that come up as we're looking at images together. This is an artist called Neve, they, he, a choreographer, wheelchair dancer, and disability justice activist. And in this image, we see a person with multiple tattoos, including a facial tattoo, just underneath the water so that the water acts as a reflection surface. So we see a fractured image of water above this person. We see hair moving into the bubbles. And we see, again, a complicated state. It's not one way of being. It's not just a joyful or relaxed. There's also a tension, a play, something that happens when you're underwater, when you're on that very edge of dancing at the bottom of your breath. This one is Jasmine Porlicky, she, her, who is Anishinaabe. She's here from Michigan, she's actually not from Michigan, she's from Wisconsin. She lives in Michigan now. She's a singer, a drum group leader, and a powwow dancer. And this image, again, has this great power for me. It shows a face that's all crunched up. There's great muscular exertion as the lips and the nose and the eyes are all crunched up together in a moment of coiled springiness. And this is in a natural body of water. It's not a swimming pool. We see the darkness of the water behind the face. All right, I'm gonna just stop for a second and let you look at this image. It's a very different image. This is a painting. This is a painting by an artist called Kalida Garcia Rawls. It's dominated by light and dark blues, black skin, white dresses, two shapes that to me signifies women under the water, in touch with one another, hands, arms intertwined. Again, this great swirl of energy that water imparts to us. And then there's also the strong sense of it being a painting, you know, like a claiming, an artful translation of the energies, the roiling energies of waters and the power of bodies. So with this image, I'm reaching towards, again, back to the beginning of my little talk here, when I was speaking about the ethical demands of ecosoma attention and of being aware of colonial atrocity. And this Kalida Garcia Rawls, you might have seen some of her images in Ta-Nehisi Coates' The Water Dancer, a very well-known book. You also might know Ta-Nehisi Coates' Reparations Essay, which is a very strong, much read essay about the issue of how to address historical injustice and the price, the ongoing effects of slavery in the US. You might also have seen Rawls' work in Jasmine Ward's essay on witness and despair, a personal tragedy followed by the pandemic, about losing her husband to COVID. Like Jesmyn Ward lost her husband to COVID and wrote this powerful essay about her grieving and about the ongoing revolution, about Black Lives Matter, and about witnessing this moment. So both of these very iconic moments in the current revolution in the US have been accompanied by images of Khalida Garcia Rawls. And I'm just going back to this image to give you a second to just sit with this and look at the power of these movements, of these bodies intertwined underwater. And I'm going to read you a little paragraph of what she wrote about working in this much more public way than the salamander disability culture images that I'm interested, that I've been creating with people. She much more publicly wrote about this work in these very powerful words that are a great wayfarer to me. I found that I felt emotionally lighter after leaving the pool, no matter what issues I was working out before I jumped into the water. This led me to begin using water as a visual language, a way to heal and address difficult and divisive issues. When I am in the water and I see the light glistening off of it in certain ways, it just looks so magical. The way the body appears to break, splinter, and flow in moving water appears otherworldly to me. Yeah, exactly. I just totally agree with this reading, and this is what I find so inspiring about doing disability culture work in water. And I just want to end this part of the presentation by pointing to a current performance. This is going on right now, this weekend. This is Sins Invalid, We Love Like Barnacles, Crip Lives in Climate Crisis. Sins Invalid is an incredibly influential performance group, disability justice group, led by Black, brown, queer, people of color activists who are doing incredibly important work around bringing disability issues and racialized issues into conversation with one another. So this is happening right now. And if you're interested in these issues, I urge you to go and see what magic they have been weaving. And the image that I'm seeing here before me is a beautiful, strong, Black woman's body with a mask holding a wand, and the wand is radiating power. The wand is also held by a second woman who has a wheelchair and a baby on her lap. This woman has also brown skin, lighter brown skin, and intertwined into the wheels of her wheelchair is an octopus. And we see again a great swirl of water that encompasses houses and sweeps away houses as, you know, the head of the wand becomes a sun and a reverberating chamber. Very powerful image. All right, so it's a little something about disability culture out there in the world. And I specifically focused on water because I'm now getting to the experiential part of the session today, the amoeba dances. So amoeba dances is something I'm running out of Turtle Disco here in Ipsy, out of a somatic writing studio. And one of the core lineages of this practice is Emily Conrad Stout's Continuum Movement, which I access through work at the West Coast Contact Improvisation Festival and artists like Terry Carter and Robin Becker. So Emily Conrad's work has been much discussed in this conference, so I'm not going to go too much into that, but the human body's resonance with water is really central to that work. So you will see as we're going into the experiential part, it's very easy to see how the inspiration there works for me. The other inspiration for this particular practice is Pauline Oliveras, a lesbian music pioneer who gets people to engage in deep listening. And I have an image here of her. This image was shot at Goddard College, one of the places that I teach at. And you'll see her there in a green coat, a cap on her head, this wonderful white-skinned elder, who's talking to us right now. We're standing on top of a cistern, which is a giant resonating chamber under the earth that she took us down in, and then She created sounds that reverberated deep, deep underground. I am there in my wheelchair. You see me there in the middle. This is a few years back, so my hair looked a bit different. I'm sitting in my wheelchair, and I cannot physically go down into that cistern, but I was working with people above ground. So I had everybody lie in a circle above the ground and engage in deep listening work and resonance work while we're on top, and Pauline and the others were down in the cistern. This is a very powerful moment in my work here in the US, and I'm very grateful that I got to work with Pauline this way. All right, and this is the image I'd love you to look at really closely for our practice today. This is Martin Ramirez, who is a Mexican artist. He's he, him. He was for 30 years institutionalized in California. This is an aspect of disability culture that I haven't yet mentioned. Many of us are institutionalized, are imprisoned, and the liberation of all of us are bound up together, disabled people, and many other people who are fighting for freedom and a more socially just world. He was a self-taught artist. He's very well known in that world. And he created these tunnel images. You see here this train going in a tunnel, and we have all these kind of tunnel-like shapes on the screen. It's black and white work with a bit of red there in the middle. He is, for me, someone who exemplifies crip adaptability. In the institutions that he was in, he had to find his artistic material. So he used the liners of drawers. He used paper that wrapped bread. He used whatever he could find in order to create his images. There was this strong need to create images, and he found this particular way of doing so. And when I first saw his work at the Folk Art Museum in Santa Fe, I was just floored by this trace of crip adaptability, something that many of us who are disabled have to engage in if we want to work and live and be in this world. And here I'm seeing it in this really raw way of someone who's institutionalized for 30 years and has to find a way to be expressive. So I want to honor that expressiveness. And let's look at that tunneling, right? So tunneling is one of the core images here that I want you to take in as we're now getting ready to do our thing. I'm going to stop it here, stop share. Okay, that was a 20-minute presentation. And I now invite you to make yourself, find a good place to just begin moving, okay? You don't have to look at the screen, it's perfectly fine. There's no more images here. If you can listen to my voice, that's great. Don't feel like you have to stare at the screen now, okay? I would like you instead to look at where you are. I'd like you to begin by looking at your own hand. Look at your hand, put it in front of your eyes. And let's begin some gentle movement with the hand and the lines in the hand. So we're now going to a place where we are going into ourselves and also working at the borderline, the boundary, the skin, just like as the skin of water and air, we're looking at the skin, the moment of the inside and the outside of the body. And I just want you to dance the lines of your hand. I'm going to do this sitting. Some of you might want to move in your spaces. I'm tracking with my chin, with my shoulder, with my arm, the lines inside my hand. I can feel my back moving, shifting as I'm moving with the lines on my hand as my score, as my choreographic pattern. I can feel this movement drill down to my sits bones. I'm still sitting, I'm giving energy to my sits bones, to my legs. I'm touching my legs as I'm running the energy down to my feet. Whatever is accessible to you, however you access your embodiment, let it run through. If you need inspiration to move with, look at the lines in your hand. And just use this little moment to digest the story of ancestors, lineages, adaptability, survivance, and celebration. And then gently bring that to a close. Look at your hands. Beautiful and unique patterns. See the webs that you are bound into. Think about your own bio and chosen ancestors, your lineages. And feel the aliveness of your body, energy running through. All right. Okay, ready for the second instruction. Okay. So for the second one, I like you to hum, okay? Humming, very fun. So we're going to hum, and we're going to use the humming to go into our body. Now, if you, like me, experience pain a lot, I want to give you a little warning. Paying a lot of attention to the insides of the body, to embodiment, the theme of this conference, if we pay a lot of attention, we need to be careful that we don't activate pain, right? You need to keep yourself well safe so that you don't put too much energy into the locuses of pain. You can go there and see how much you can unfold, but you don't want to get stuck in there. So I'm just giving you that as a gentle warning. This is something that can happen to people when they engage in meditation practices or trance practices. Try to find ways not to get stuck in locuses of pain, but use the movement of humming, the energy of humming, the ongoingness of humming, just like you moved along the lines in your hand, as a way to touch in and move elsewhere, see what you can do to create aliveness and movement around any signs of pain that you might have. Okay, so for 5 minutes now, we're going to drop hums into our body. We're going to tunnel into our body with Martin Ramirez's tunnels. Humming, hum, and direct that humming into your body. Find tunnels. I'm giving us 5 minutes to do that. I'm going to move off the screen myself for that time. I'm going to hum in my own way, so you're going to hear me. Hum. Travel through your body. Explore the inner, outer world of your body that way. Okay, 5 minutes. Listen to the echoes of the tunnels inside your body. What information comes back? How does your body react to the spaces you're creating? Then slowly bring that exploration to an end. And in your own time, transition to writing down phrases, images, making marks, what came up to you. I'm going to spend about 3 minutes doing that. And then slowly bring that to an end. And you can continue with that, obviously, a little bit later. So right for now, let's put it aside. And let's go into a second sounding, more deep listening into our body, more tunnels. And this time we're going to use a sound from continuum movement, the dropped O's. So the drop O goes, oh, oh. So what I'm doing here is I'm doing an O and have a sound come out, and I'm imagining this as an O that I'm swallowing, an O that goes down into me. And it's a more tunneling sound than the more general diffuse humming. So let's use that one and go to places in your body that hold your attention right now where you'd like to go. And if you find that anything comes up that is hard for you, or if you find yourself circling, getting stuck in a place of pain, go back to the talisman of your hand. Okay, so this is a good way to take yourself out if something goes too deep and if you're not ready for that at this point on a Saturday morning, in my case. So go back to the lines on your hand. Have a way to come out. Okay, but just enjoy this slightly deeper journey. And I'm going to give us another 5 minutes for that, followed by another 3 minutes of writing. Okay, so 5 minutes from now with dropped O's, oh, directing them into your body, doing a few, listening to the effects, seeing where that moves you and how that moves you. Oh. then slowly transition from your dropped O's back into writing, holding on to some of the images that are coming up. This is, particularly if you do it longer, creates trance states. There's a trance state, so the images that come up are only with us for a short period of time, which is why it's very good to write things down. So we build our vocabulary of this inner journeying and dreaming. All right, and as we're going into the last minute or two of writing, see if there's a phrase in your writing that you're happy and willing to share in the chat. You don't have to. Something that's right, just a little phrase, and I will read them out so that everybody can see them as well, not just the people who are in here with me right now. So if you're happy to write a little phrase down, I invite you to do that. And then we will have about 5 minutes left for some Q&A. Read out some of what people have written. Soma tears of water juice, choose the ringtones. It's hard to travel all the way down my body. There's a push-up once I get to the top of my legs. Ammonite sensation unfurling, feeling towards an opening. Ease those places as an ointment to heal. A call to move, to release. It's a beautiful collection already. Kneading or elongating to groan, zigzags, and kneading again. wallowing O rests in the bowl of my skull. We hear a lot about moments and places in the body where things get stuck or where things soothe, where things move through. Gripping, clutching, a bit stuck. Yes, that's great. All very real. Landra is drawn rather than written. You may not want to read this out. Oh, I do. I have drawn a volcano with some clouds, a butterfly-type creature with wings that look like alveoli in lungs. Oh, I love that. A left ear on the volcano and a setting sun. Oh, thank you. That sounds wonderful. I'm so glad you wrote that down here. Feeling, recognizing how tired my body and mind actually is right now. Anna, that's what an appropriate response to the world and the crisis and the revolution that we're in. Oh, to flowering, relieving, open beauty within. Swallowing bubbles of expressed starlight, I explore deep down into my illuminated caverns. Oh, these are just beautiful. Thank you. So I think we're going to end the session with that. Thank you for joining me into this resource for creativity, a resource for dealing with pain, citing lineages, seeing the deep excavations that are possible inside our bodies, on the edges of our bodies, in the lines of our hands, as we move in the elements. So I'm really grateful that you went on this journey with me. Thank you.
Petra, this was just really so beautiful. Thank you so, so much for sharing this. I can see that everyone really enjoyed it. Thank you so much. Thank you everyone very, very much for attending and for participating. Petra, I would like to ask you one last thing. What would be your top tip of embodiment you would like to share with us today?
Could you say that again, my dear Catherine?
A top tip, you know, a tip of embodiment.
Top tip is that you are, okay, the top tip for me would be today that even though when we live in painful bodies, we might feel alone, that there's great juice in connecting ourselves with our body and with history and with lineages, with chosen and other families and influences. So art practice is a wonderful way of being connected, of not being alone. So that tension between embodiment as this single envelope, and then the fact that all the cultures in the world have all this richness about embodiment and about how we feel connected with the human and more than human world. That's my core takeaway. And I have a question here from, are we still, I think we have a little, 2 more minutes, right?
If I get this right. I have a question.
Andrea?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, do you want me to read it or?
Yes, please, go ahead.
With humming, do we just hold onwards or also encourage people to touch this body, the membrane between inner and outer?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a lovely question because some people find touch painful. They find self-touch hard. So I'm not giving concrete directions on how, whether you do or do not touch, go with your own body, mind, spirit, whether you enjoy your own touch. You saw me touching myself. I modeled it in that way, but looking is fine. Just sensing, using all our senses to access our body in the world in the way that's right for you is to me, the core way of approaching this. Rather than giving too many instructions, you go with what feels good for you in the moment, but use this. Any humming tips? Someone asked Marilyn. Any humming tips? No? Humming? Humming is good. Humming is vibrating our everything, is vibrating the world around us. It's really good to hum together. So one of the things of doing this in this way means that we're not really doing it together. That's sad, right? So it's really good to do these humming and dropped O's in a room where you hear other people do it. So hopefully we get to that again. So humming with other people is great. For people who can't hear or do not hear well as you do, do you still recommend humming and the dropped O's? Oh, yes. It's a vibrational thing. So absolutely. So deaf people, hard of hearing people, if you hum, if you just hum and put your hand on your sternum, you can feel that, right? There's a very strong feeling. So all of these sounds are sounds that are not just auditory, they're also vibrations in the body. So yes, I think there's a lot of accessibility there. Obviously, it depends on what people prefer to do and whether it works for them. But yes, totally something you can do in many different settings. So great questions. Yay.
We've got so much feedback here in the chat. So many thank yous. Amazing.
It's beautiful. Thank you so much, everybody, for being here. It's lovely.
It was really a nice.
Thanks for the tunnels. This is great. Thank you, Melinda. Wonderful. Yay.
So, Petra, I would love to continue here. Unfortunately, I have to start closing up. I'm really sorry for that.
That's great.
But it was really wonderful that you shared, you know, all this with the people here today. I think we need this nowadays in our, you know, difficult situations, lockdown and COVID. So it's wonderful that you came. I'm really honored. And yeah, I'd like to share with you, try to join the coffee breakout rooms. This is a really amazing opportunity to connect between, you know, the people and to talk about what you experienced, and also try to join our ecology and research Facebook groups. We are posting there, you know, about other presentations. We have, you know, many wonderful presentations still coming up, so try to join it as much as you can. And definitely, yeah, so this presentation will be still live for 48 hours. So share it with your friends, let them know what's going on. And, you know, this is a wonderful opportunity to share this experiences with your friends. And consider buying the library before the end of the conference, because the price is going to double. And also buying library allows you to, you know, digest all the content, which is a lot, over 1,000 presentations, allows you to digest the content in the time, you know, you want. You have lifelong access to it. And we also created learning lists, so which makes it easier to navigate through it and makes it actually a real learning experience for you. So thank you very, very much, Petra. I really enjoyed having you here. And thank you, everyone, for attending and participating. It's really wonderful when it's heartwarming to see how people participated. So, yeah.
Lovely. Thank you so much. Thanks, everybody. Thank you. Really nice to do this with you. I'm glad to have been part of this conference and added a little bit of disability culture into the proceedings. So thank you. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.